Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is the Bald-Faced Truth.
Appreciate everybody who makes this radio show part of their day. Say that with all sincerity. Whether you're listening on podcast, which you can get on Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get this show. Or whether you are listening as you drive around in the course of your day, I know you're busy. I know you have options. I know you have choices. I appreciate that you make a commitment every day to tune into this radio show. You're an absolute army. And I know that a lot of you, I run into a lot of people who are like, hey, I listen to the show. I'm always humbled when I hear that from people who are tuned into the show. So thank you for being out there and being part of this radio show. Our next guest covers the Utah Jazz for the Salt Lake Tribune. Also hosts a radio show on ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City. Andy Larson joining us. Andy Larson, where are you today?
I am in Salt Lake City. Just got back home from Jazz practice and getting ready for Jazz Nuggets tonight.
Jazz Nuggets. Everybody playing tonight, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, you know, everyone who's healthy is playing. You know, obviously, the Nuggets have just one injury to Michael Porter Jr., and then the Jazz have a few kind of nagging injuries that they've had for the last week. Derek Favors is probable with back spasms, but Kyle Korver, Ricky Rubio, and Howell Neto are all out, so the Jazz will be playing without a point guard tonight, but that's something that they've faced pretty frequently over the last second half of the season, and so something that they're kind of used to at this point.
It's really interesting because last year during the playoffs, watching Donovan Mitchell and watching the Jazz, I felt like Utah had really captured some energy and some momentum. I'm excited to see them in a series with the Blazers. Given the Blazers' current state with injuries and no Jusuf Nurkić, how do you see a potential Jazz-Blazers series going?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think from a Jazz point of view, and maybe this isn't fair to Portland Trailblazers, but maybe Portland is their preferred opponent at this point between them and the Rockets, and, you know, Denver is still possible, too, because of those injury woes that you mentioned. And I think the difference between having Nurkić and not having Nurkić is obviously a big one for the Blazers. But I think the Jazz kind of feel like they could confidently attack Enes Kanter and the Blazers centers in pick and roll. And obviously, you know, the guards, while they're extremely explosive offensively, defensively can be are a little bit of a weakness and maybe be exploited a little bit. And so I think the Jazz think that the offense would be just fine. It's just kind of whether or not they have the personnel to match up with Dame and CJ on the defensive end, which I think is a concern. You know, if Ricky Rubio is coming in with some sort of injury, whether that be his hamstring or the knee, and then, of course, Dante Exum is out for the season, that which is a long, lanky guard who can defend Damian Lillard and CJ maybe better than anyone else on the team could. That could be a struggle, and so they'll need to, you know, dedicate a lot of defensive resources to stopping those guys. Not that that's anything new from what probably Portland fans have seen.
It's interesting, last year's playoff series, what did the Jazz get out of that?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot. You know, obviously you saw kind of Donovan Mitchell grow from a rookie kind of inefficient scorer and a guy who was just kind of trying to figure things out to getting a chance to play against a really good defensive opponent in the Oklahoma City Thunder and even then the Houston Rockets after that, and kind of realized, oh, wow, I can even score against the best of the best. You know, even if Paul George is defending me, there's still some things I can do on the offensive end that are dangerous and helpful for my team. And, you know, then I think this is something that Quinn Snyder really excels at, too, is his ability to game plan in the course of a playoff series and his ability to make adjustments, his ability to kind of attack opponents where they're weakest and really take advantage of his own team's strengths. And so I think the Jazz kind of found that and kind of used it to kind of surprise, I think, a lot of people with that Oklahoma City first round upset. And then, you know, obviously the Houston Rockets were the better team last year. And I think, you know, that would be whatever the Jazz face, if they do get into the second round, that would still be kind of a where they're probably expected to lose.
I didn't think Portland would win a playoff series, even with a healthy Yusuf Nurkic. But now with him out, I'm looking at it going, how do they figure this out? Is the home court a big factor in this series, or do you think it's a bigger factor just how does Portland respond to not having Nurk?
I don't think it's a big factor. And you look at the history of the fourth-fifth matchup over the last decade or so, and it really has been, I think it's six of the last seven was the stat that I saw, have been won by the fifth seed rather than the fourth seed. And then you look at the last 2 years where the Jazz have been that number five seed, upsetting the Oklahoma City Thunder last year and even the L.A. Clippers before that, the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan Clippers. So I don't think home court is a big deal for the series. You know, I think these are two really good home crowds. I really enjoy coming up to Portland and watching what Blazers fans do. But, you know, I think Jazz fans are good as well. But I don't think that, you know, both of these teams have shown an ability to win on the road and in the playoffs. You know, I think the Jazz have shown they've actually won more games on the road in the playoffs than at home over the last couple of years in the Quinn Snyder era. So I just don't think it's that big of a factor.
I'm looking at Donovan Mitchell's season stats this year versus last. He's up in points. He's rebounding at a better level. He's got more assists. Is he a better player than he was a year ago?
He is. It's not by a lot. You know, I don't think that there's this leap that he took. I think he took more shots. He took a bigger role in the offense. And this year, it was from the very beginning of the year, day one, that the Jazz knew that they had their scoring star, which I think it took until really December of last year to kind of realize what they had in Donovan Mitchell. But he has absolutely extended his game. You know, I think he's got some more finishes in the middle of the paint. I think he's a better shooter than he was last year. But like you said, I think he's starting to figure out how to deal with how different defenses attack him. You know, I think, for example, earlier on in the second year, he really struggled with teams blitzing him in the pick and roll. And now he's kind of realized, okay, what I need to do against that is X, Y, and Z. You know, I need to find the open man. I know where it's going to be. And then I can cut off of that and maybe even get a basket myself still. And I think those are the kind of things that you like to see a second player kind of figure out. And we are seeing Donovan Mitchell do that.
We're talking to Andy Larson, Salt Lake Tribune, about a potential Blazers-Jazz playoff series. If Ricky Rubio's injury is a factor, who else in that rotation picks up the slack?
Yeah, I mean, Howell Neto is the backup point guard, but he's also facing his own injury issues with ankle soreness right now, and he's been kind of been a guy that's been in and out of out of the roster. So, you know, I don't know what his status will be for the playoffs. Like I said, the Jazz have spent a lot of time with no point guard at all, with Dante Exum, Howell Neto, and Ricky Rubio. What they do then is have Donovan Mitchell run the point guards from the beginning of the game. And then it's really Joe Ingles, when Donovan comes out, that takes over those point guard duties. And he really has developed the playmaking part of his game to be a danger in the pick and roll, especially with Derek Favors in that combination. So that's what the Jazz do when he's out. I think the Jazz really benefit from having Ricky Rubio on the floor, even though he's not a good shooter at all. You know, I think he does have kind of this offensive know-how of how to make the Jazz get into their sets, find open guys, and make stuff happen. And the offensive rating numbers show that as well.
Andy Larson, Salt Lake Tribune, covers the Utah Jazz. All right, let's say Portland does the unthinkable. Like, no, I don't think anybody thought when Nurkic went down that this was a team that could win a series, a meaningful playoff series. But let's say Portland does beat the Jazz. What does that do to sort of the trajectory of this era of Jazz basketball?
Yeah, I don't know that it changes it that much, because you just do have, you've got Donovan Mitchell under contract for two more years under his rookie deal, and then, you know, presumably signs the whatever restricted free agent, whether that be an extension or the Jazz match. You know, the Jazz would have him for another 4 years after that, likely. So that's good. And then you've got Rudy Gobert still for another 2 years. So it's not like the Jazz have a lot of free agents that are coming up this season. Ricky Rubio will be a free agent. Derek Favors will be. They have the option of moving on from him, and they can do that. I think they kind of may make the decision, it's the same decision either way, whether they win or lose in a first-round series. But it's not this, like, franchise-changing pivotal moment for the Jazz. I think if the Jazz lose this series, it's just kind of it may hurt maybe a case they might make to a free agent, like a, you know, we've been talking about Tobias Harris or a Kemba Walker or a Chris Middleton around here. And maybe you have a better case if you get it to the second round of the playoffs than the first. But I don't think it's a huge catastrophic thing if you lose in the first round to the Blazers.
Is it a weird place for Utah to be where they're looking at Portland, they're looking at Denver, they're looking at the standings, and they feel like a lot of this was out of their control?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it's funny, you know, you look at this game and you can honestly say, hey, there's a case that Jazz should maybe try to lose this game and instead give themselves a chance to fall to the sixth seed just in case Denver's, you know, devious plan of tanking and getting the Rockets to the fourth seed plays out the way it does. You know, if the Rockets lose tonight to the Thunder, that all of a sudden looks like a really real possibility if, you know, the Blazers win their last two games. So it is a weird situation to be in, you know, where your opponent is out of your control. These last two games are not a big deal. But the truth of the matter is that this team has this very defined culture of, hey, we're going to try every day. We're going to try to get better every game, and we're going to improve kind of marginally each and every day. And hopefully, you know, you're at the point where it's no longer you're a good team and you're kind of relying on other things to go well around you. It's by next season you're an elite team and you're at the top of the conference and you're kind of making those decisions for other people. So that's the hope. This is still a young team, but yeah, it is definitely a weird situation where, you know, for the most part, this is out of Jazz's hands a little bit at this point.
It rocked the Portland market when Yusuf Nurkic went down, and I think that injury, there was a lot of response around the NBA. Do the Jazz now go, hey, Yusuf, sorry, but do they come into this series salivating a little bit? Or who on the roster has the biggest opportunity with Enes Kanter being the big threat inside for the Blazers?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the Jazz know Enes Kanter well, right? I mean, the Jazz had him for four seasons, traded him away because of the defensive liabilities that he presented, and really Rudy Gobert was the guy who didn't play behind Enes Kanter until really the last couple of months of that fourth year. And so I think Rudy Gobert is going to be excited about that matchup. And I think you look at some of the other guards on the team, and, you know, I think they're excited to kind of exploit Enes Kanter in the pick and roll, even though Kanter's gotten better at that. I still certainly don't think it's a strength. And then, you know, Rodney Hood is another guy, too, was on the Jazz as recently as last season. And I think he's a guy that the Jazz know really well, and they know his strengths, but again, they also know his weaknesses, and they know that he can fall asleep sometimes on weak side defense, and they know that he's maybe not the strongest on-ball defender. And, you know, there are some things that I think the Jazz are not excited about, you know, making Rodney Hood and Enes Kanter look bad, but I think there are some guys that know how they can win those matchups in the course of this series. So I think that's something that the Jazz would be, yeah, excited about. I think that's one reason why they'd be optimistic about their chances against the Blazers. But, I think there's a lot there for the Jazz to maybe find some success. And like you say, Nurk's injury is such a big one.
Andy Larson, Salt Lake Tribune, covers the Jazz, hosts a radio program in Salt Lake as well on ESPN 700. Andy, the fans in Salt Lake have been given a rap as, you know, they're abusive towards some of the players. People say, oh, they hate playing there. The fans are racist, all this. Is the Salt Lake fan get a bad rap, or is there truth in that?
Look, you know, I think it's both. You know, I think they do get a bad rap, and obviously, you know, there's not a majority of racist fans or anything like that. It's pretty clear that it's been, you know, one or two or, heck, let's say up to five people. I don't know how many people it is that have been saying these things in the front row within the earshot of players. The Jazz took steps to ban two fans when the Russell Westbrook thing happened. And, you know, I think that was a good step. And I think it was good for Gail Millett to say, hey, we will not tolerate this. And if you hear any of this from your fellow fan, make sure you speak up and, you know, either get him to stop or send a text message to the arena security hotline. And then there were kind of these very clear protocols in place for what people should do in those kind of instances. But yeah, obviously it's not every fan, and it's not, I think the vast majority of Jazz fans are like really good, passionate people who really want to see their team win and are doing it in the right way. But nevertheless, I don't think that doesn't mean that the conversation can't be productive. And I thought Kyle Korver's piece yesterday on the Players Tribune was a really good example of that. It's like, hey, you know, sure, I think, you know, 95%, like I say, of fans are doing the right thing and are not problematic in any way, but that doesn't mean that we can't benefit from that conversation.
The playoffs, as they stand now, you'd have Golden State against the Clippers, Denver against the Spurs, Nuggets, Thunder, you'd have Nuggets, Spurs, you'd have Rockets, Thunder, Blazers, Jazz. Which of those series is the most interesting?
I think it's Rockets, Thunder, just because obviously there's a lot of star power there, but I think we haven't seen the best from the Oklahoma City Thunder over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, if Paul George can kind of regain that form that he had earlier on in the season before the shoulder injury, then all of a sudden that seems like a really close matchup that honestly the Thunder could come out with a win. So to me, I think they have a lot of weapons to maybe work on defending James Harden with. Obviously the Rockets are much better shooters than the Thunder, and that's a key advantage they have. And certainly you favor the Rockets in that series at this point. But if the Thunder play like they can, then that's a really tough, interesting series that I think could go the distance.
All right. Andy Larson, I will see you on Press Row at this playoff series. I look forward to seeing a little bit of Salt Lake, getting to know the fans a little bit, and appreciate your time, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm praying over here to come up to Portland rather than go down to Houston. If everything goes right and you guys win your last two games, if you guys could just lose one of those last two games for me, that would be great, because I love the city of Portland and love visiting whenever I can.
All right.
Just let them pass that on for me.
All right. We'll pass that on, see if we can do something about that. I think it's going to be Blazers Jazz, but don't you think so, Peter? I mean, isn't that how, like...
Yeah, I don't expect Houston to lose to Oklahoma City tonight. They're motivated, and yeah, it's going to be Blazers Jazz. It is.
Yeah, because Houston's, I mean, I would worry if Houston were sitting in a let's rest some players position, but they are motivated by, they got a shot to move up to two, which would be they don't have to leave the state of Texas. They get to play the Spurs. That's a better matchup for them. And they're also motivated by the fact that the Blazers are a game and a half behind them for three. They got to win.
Yeah.
To kind of put it away.
Yeah, and they're going to. I expect them to.
Guess who's on tomorrow's show? Because tomorrow we're doing the baseball celebration with the Portland Diamond Project. But I have an NBA guest booked for tomorrow that I'm really excited about as well. Jamal Crawford Phoenix Suns is going to come on. All bets are off because season ends tonight. Tomorrow, he's coming on with us to give his playoff predictions.
That'll be fun.
He's going to tell us who he's picking and why in each series. So we'll get it from Jay Crossover, Jamal Crawford, on tomorrow's show. Make sure you're here for that. All right. Coming up, our 2 at 2. It's the two biggest things in sports. I think we've got some news breaking in the sports world. You want to stay tuned to the station for that as well. And as I pointed out, if you missed any of that interview, grab a podcast at SoundCloud, iTunes. Mike Leach just texted me. He wants to come on the show. I love that. We don't even have to reach out to people. They're all clamoring to get on this show. Who do you want to see on this show? Tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Give us someone to chase because we got people knocking on the door. I feel like we have the velvet ropes. We got a couple of bouncers outside, and Mike Leach is standing in line. He's going, "Hey, can I get in? You think I could get in there? Hang out inside that radio show?" Mike Leach, we'll get him on at some point. Not today, but probably not tomorrow, but at some point. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. 2 at 2 coming up. Saw a story on Oregon Live just a moment ago. Portland has been ranked the 8th best place to live in the United States. That according to the U.S. News and World Report. Austin, Texas is number 1. Naked bicycle rides are cited. Soapbox Derby is cited. Voodoo Donuts is cited. That's a problem. I do none of those things. I don't participate in any of those things. Does that make me like, you know, these are the best things that people are... they're just so much crap. Where are the great cities in the country to live? Portland's a great city. So is Austin. So is Tampa, even though the people are thin-skinned there. Just look at my Twitter timeline. David's in Portland. He's got something on his mind. What's up, David?
I was just interested to hear about Jamal Crawford. There was a great article in SI, I think it was, the year that he was playing for the Timberwolves, and he chose the Timberwolves because he felt he could help them more than other offers that he had gotten, in theory, for more money. I can also tell you that I was very disappointed in his delivery in the year that he played for the Blazers. I don't know if I can't remember if that was Nate's last year when people were quitting or what.
Yep.
But that his play here was a great disappointment. I've got great admiration for him. I think he's a great 3-point shooter, and he deserves the six-man awards he's gotten. And he's about 200 years old, but he seems to be going fine.
Yeah, he's 39. And I had looked that up today because I was like, wow, he's been in the league a long time. Part of the problem in Portland is, look, I think he is ideally suited to be a sixth man. And part of the problem in Portland is the Blazers lacked so much offense, and they had so many injuries and problems that they pushed him into a role that I didn't think suited him.
Yeah, they had him playing point guard.
Yeah. So you could be disappointed in his role, but I think it was the equivalent of asking Marcus Mariota to play left tackle. Maybe not so bad, but something like that. You gotta put people in position to succeed. It's a reason why, I walk by the cockpit of the 767 that I flew. I didn't fly it. I flew on going to and from Florida. I walked by the cockpit, and my kids happened to be along for the ride on the trip, and they peered into the cockpit, and they were delighted by two things. One, there was a female pilot. They went bananas because I think it was the first time that the four-year-old had seen a woman in that uniform in the cockpit. She went bananas thinking about it. And second thing was the woman saw her being so excited about it and said, come here, invited her into the cockpit. So I got to stand right there and look at all the controls that the pilot has in front of them. And I've never flown a plane. I'm not a pilot. I don't have a pilot's license. I've thought about getting a pilot's license, but my wife, who's been in the TV industry, did as a weekend anchor, did a story every weekend about some jackass who thought he could be a pilot too and had to land the plane on the interstate. So she's always said, don't be that guy. Okay. I don't want you being that guy who's landing the plane, because like I would be that guy. Maybe I probably would. But I looked at all the controls and I thought to myself, I am not qualified to be a pilot because I would be overwhelmed. Peter Sampson, all the buttons you have in front of you, I'm not qualified to do that. I couldn't do it.
Sure, I understand. No problem.
Yeah. See? Nothing there. Alabama Adriana down there watching Bull Durham. I could do that. What's going on in the movie? We gave her the assignment, if you're just tuning in, to watch Bull Durham today and get paid to do it. Give us your update. Where are you in the movie?
They are doing really well, and I'm not really good with their names, but the girl just got up on the table and was basically begging the blonde guy to have relations with her.
I see.
Because he's holding out.
Oh, he's a virgin.
No.
He's just holding out.
He's just holding out because
he's
winning.
Pitching well.
Yeah.
Okay, Nuke LaRouche. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, who did you just spoil it?
Huh?
Did you just give me a spoiler?
No. I just said he's pitching well. He doesn't want to mess with a streak.
Well, you said someone was a virgin, so
No. Okay. It was a different I'm thinking of a different character.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah, that's what's happening.
That's
I keep
not
on
the...
getting interrupted with like actual job duties, so
lock your door.
No, it's stuff I have to do. I have to do for the show.
I purposely have not solicited phone calls on today's show so you can watch this damn movie. I don't know if you noticed that, but that's part of it. All right. So far, rate the movie on 1 to 100 scale. Oh, never mind. Tell us later when you're done with it.
Yeah,
you're
let
gonna
me finish it.
You're going to finish it on today's show. All right. Our 2 at 2 is coming up in the next segment. I want you to be here for that because there is a natural segue to what we were just talking about. No phone calls. Don't call. She won't answer. She's watching Bull Durham. Leave it here. You got the bald face.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but If you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.